The next accelerator is your self-concept. This is how you see yourself. This is how you see yourself. If you're aware of your self-concept, then you can tweak it to your advantage. If you're not aware of it, it's going to work to your disadvantage, and it's going to actually slow you down. And the self-concept has three parts. The first part is what I call the future picture. This is the best case scenario for your life. This self-concept is a subconscious mechanism. You're not consciously aware of it. You were not born with it. It's there. It's there. In other words, you were not born seeing yourself in a particular way. That develops as you live through your exposures. Okay, your self-concept develops through your exposures. The future picture, another name for it, is self-ideal. This is the ideal picture of your life if everything were perfect for you. Well, whether you've done that idealizing exercise or not, we still have this ideal picture. And it's a composite of all of our goals and dreams and aspirations and the role models and the people that we look up to and aspire to be like, all combined into one to create this image of what we think is the best case scenario for our life. There are two problems with most people's future picture. For most people, they've not consciously created it, and therefore it's too vague. It's unclear. And if it's unclear, your brain doesn't go to work to make it happen. The second challenge with the self-ideal or the future picture is that it's too small. Small goals equal small motivation. Big goals equal big motivation. It's a bit of a which comes first. You know, do I get really motivated and set some big goals, or do I set some big goals and get really motivated? Well, it's the latter. If the very act of sitting down and writing some big goals that you don't now know how to achieve jacks up your self-ideal, it expands your future picture where you believe more is possible for you. By writing a personal mission statement, you take this concept of a self-ideal, this future picture, and you put it in writing where you can do something with it, where it's a mechanism of feedback for you. That's really what this future picture is. We have this future picture in our mind, and it guides us and tells us to turn here, turn there, turn here, turn there. Just like if you're going to a party and you've got directions and you're looking for a street sign, well, when you finally see the street sign you're looking for, where you're supposed to turn, you turn, right? So what is a street sign? It's a mechanism of feedback. It tells you whether you're on track or off track. Well, what if it's so foggy when you're going to this party that you can't even see the street sign? Is there any practical value to having a street sign? No. It might as well not be there. So if you have this self-ideal or this future picture and it's vague, or it's just so small that it doesn't cause you to want to get up early or stay up late or be creative, then you need to jack it up. Think of it this way. Your talents, your skills, your abilities will rise to meet the level of goal that you set for yourself. First, you have to set the goal, and then all of a sudden you'll notice your memory gets better, you get a little more motivated, you're saying the right thing at the right time, and so on. Things start to work your way. You start to be more coachable. But first, you've got to set the big goal. Who in here has a picture within a picture TV? Who in here knows how to work it? All right, there's three hands. Everybody knows what a picture within a picture TV is? All right, get that image in your mind. Your future picture is like that game that you're watching up in the corner of the screen. You're paying a little bit of attention to it. Your current picture is the game that's going on right now. You're mainly interested in this game, but you want to keep track of this other game that's going on, and so you have them both going at the same time. Well, your future picture is that picture within a picture. Current picture is the bigger picture. And as long as that game is interesting and compelling, you'll keep watching the current game. If that one up there in the right-hand corner starts to get really exciting, what do you do with the remote? You click on it, and you make that take up the whole screen. What if that game's no better than the game that you're watching? You know what? You're going to sit there for the whole 2.5, 3 hours and have that little annoying picture up there in the screen and never enlarge it, never expand it. The reason that most people are under-motivated and living beneath their potential is that there's not much of a difference between that picture within a picture and the current screen that they're watching. In other words, the game of the future is going to be about like the game we're watching right now. You've got to make it so compelling that you are searching for that remote and you can't wait to change it, to expand it, to fill it up to the real picture, the full picture. That then becomes your current picture, or what we call your self-image. Your self-image is how you see yourself right now. That's your current picture. It's the game that's going on now. And it's based primarily on your interactions with others. It develops from what you say to yourself and what others say to you that you buy into. That's where your self-image comes from. We all have an overall self-image, and we all have sub-self-images. We have a self-image for our life and a self-image for our golf game, a self-image for how we are as a parent, for how we are as a spouse. We have a self-image for every aspect of our life and this overall self-image. If you are married, then the primary influencer of your self-image, other than yourself, is guess who? Your spouse. If you are a child, the primary influencer of your self-image is your parent. You need to get purposeful and strategic in developing your own self-image, your own current picture, and the current picture of those that you love in your life. Too often, here's what happens. This is completely consistent with human nature. Let's say, for example, in my marriage, that my wife tends not to be on time as much as I'd like her to be on time. This is just purely hypothetical. Now, I have a couple of choices. We know the facts, right? She's not on time. So I can get upset with her for not being on time and go, why are you running late again? We started getting ready at 5 o'clock. Do I need to, have you start getting ready at noon? What is it? All right, what is the result that I want? I want her to be on time, let's say. That's the result. And what are my words doing? They're reinforcing in her own mind that she's the type of person who just doesn't have her act together, or who's always running late, just can't do it, whatever. You know, the type of person who starts 2 hours early and sort of dilly-dallies around and then is late. I'm getting more of what I don't want. That's ludicrous. Why do I want to keep reinforcing something that I don't want? But that's what you do. Now imagine in that same relationship that maybe my wife thinks that I just don't communicate as much or as well as she would like. Again, totally hypothetical. If she goes, well, why don't you ever communicate with me? What's that stamping on my mind? I'm just not a good communicator. I just fit that typical male stereotype. Can't help it, born that way. My dad wasn't a very good communicator. In other words, it's just reinforcing what she doesn't want. So at the end of the day, she's late and I'm not communicating. She wants more communication and I want more on time, and we're not helping each other. So one of the greatest things you can do is get together with your spouse and go, tell me, spouse, how would you like your self-image to develop? Tell me what you'd like your future to be like. Tell me who you'd like to become, and let's put together 6 statements that I'm going to make an effort to tell you over and over and over again. Maybe I'll change it and say it in my own way. But in other words, I'm going to become your ally in building your self-image. After all, I'm living with you. I'm investing a lot of my life with you. I can either build you up, or I can keep you down, or I can tear you down. Which is it going to be? So you get together and you come up with a list, literally in writing. Here's 6 things that I'm going to work into conversations, that I'm going to say on an ongoing basis to you, and it's reflective of how you want to grow as a person. And then do the same for the other person. And then as far as your kids are concerned, go start develop a picture of what you want your children to be like when they're grown up. I mean, who here has a written description of what they want their children to be like before they send them off to college? Qualities and characteristics. Write it down. Once you've written it down, not many hands. I mean, it's so important. What's more important? You write it down, you go, well, what things do they need to hear frequently from me, whether they deserve it or not, because of the impact that it's going to have on the tapes that are playing? So you say things like, depending how old they are, here are 5 things that I tell my son Ty every single night. And I've been adding like 1 a year. Okay? First of all, you are a beautiful, wonderful child of God. Number two, Daddy loves you forever, always, no matter what. Number three, actions have consequences. Number four, you make smart choices. Number five, you learn from your mistakes. I can't even finish them. He's got them down. He's got them down. He will actually reel them off. The beautiful, wonderful child of God, I started the day he was born. That is the ideal, that is the ultimate self-image. To see yourself in that way. To see yourself in the true spiritual reality rather than the flesh, what you see today. You know how you draw out more of somebody's potential? You see them as they could be. You respond to them as they could be. You respond to your children. You respond not to their behavior, but you respond to what? Their potential. So you see the behavior, and you look beyond it, and you respond to their potential. Famous quote from Goethe says, treat a man as he is, and he will remain as he is. Treat a man as he could be and should be, and he will become as he should be and could be. Treat your wife as she is, and she will remain as she is. Treat her as she could be and should be, and she will become as she should be and could be. Treat your child according to his current behavior, and he'll keep repeating the current behavior. Treat your child according to his God-given potential, and he'll grow into that God-given potential. Just as surely as when he was starting to walk, you totally treated the potential. You didn't start to panic when the child fell over the first few times or more, or it got to be to the point where you were saying, well, it's going to be a late developer. You kept going, I know he's going to walk. I know she's going to walk. And you believed in that person. That's how you draw out potential, is you treat what's behind the scenes. There's a great verse, judge not according to appearance, judge righteous judgment. Anybody can look and see that's bad behavior, but who can look and see behind the bad behavior is a beautiful, wonderful child of God. Totally changes your perspective on how to treat people. Last thing on self-image or the current picture is 68 degrees. This is your thermostat. Okay, we all have a thermostat. We all have a thermostat. Set at 68 degrees. We have allowed it to be set for us. We have had influences, exposures, but we have allowed it to be set for us. And we can walk over to the wall and change the thermostat anytime we want if we're willing to do it. How do you change the thermostat? Because if you don't change the thermostat, you're going to keep on repeating what you've always done. You change the thermostat, metaphorically, by walking over there to the wall in your life, and you stop talking about yourself as the person you no longer want to be. In other words, first and foremost, cut out all negative self-talk. Stop beating up on yourself. So talk as if you're the person that you described in your mission statement. Talk as if you're the person. Answer questions as if you're the person. Talk as if you're the person describing your mission statement. Next thing, visualize yourself as the person in your mission statement. You know, how would that person that I described in my mission statement, there may be 30 years of work ahead of me, but how would that person respond in this sort of situation? Visualize yourself responding in life situations as though you were already the person in your mission statement. That's treating your potential. The last thing is act. Act as if. Talk as if, visualize as if, act as if. Act as if you're already that person. You don't have to spend any money to do it. It doesn't cost any more. In fact, it costs more in the long run to wait until you're there. You just start acting. Acting if you're already that person. How do you do that? Well, you make a list. Again, I like lists. You make a list in writing of what you would be doing differently if you're already that person, then start doing some of those things. You know, if you were already a great time manager, what would you be doing differently? Your desk would be more organized, you'd move a little quicker, you'd batch your tasks, you'd block your time, you'd plan, you'd avoid interruptions, you'd find time to get away for other things, you'd have organized files and so on. You could do it. I mean, is there anybody here, if I paid you $100,000 to play the role of a time management expert for 20 minutes in the stage production I'm doing next door, that you couldn't pull it off? Yeah. So you just get into the mode of doing it. That's not a cure-all. That's not a cure-all, but it shows your faith that you believe it's going to come to pass if you go ahead and begin acting like it. What's the virtue in waiting till the gift has arrived before you start acting faithful? Act as if. Call those things which be not as if they were. Okay? Don't wait. Anybody can do that. The real virtue is doing it ahead of time. So change that thermostat by talking, thinking, and acting as if. Self-esteem is the bottom piece of the self-concept. It's how much you value and respect yourself. Your self-esteem can come in one of two ways or both. Some people have high self-esteem because they've accomplished a lot. And some people have high self-esteem because they think they're worth a lot. And some people have both. The first type of self-esteem is called self-efficacy. It's performance-based self-esteem. It's self-esteem that goes up when you have a victory and goes down when you're in a slump. It's the roller coaster emotional life. The next type of self-esteem is self-worth. And that's authentic self-esteem. It's inside self-esteem, self-worth. Outside self-esteem, self-efficacy. No problem with either one of them. It's just one's a constant. And the irony is people with a high sense of self-worth almost always perform well. Why is that, do you think? Because the pressure's not on. They feel great about themselves, and them closing this deal or winning this golf game, in competition, they're playing it, number one, because they love to be in the competition. They're playing it for the love of the chase. The second thing is, they're still going to accept themselves. The people around them are still going to accept themselves, even if they fall short. Low self-esteem most often originates with a lack of perceived unconditional love during childhood. Keyword, perceived. You may love your child unconditionally, but if your child does not perceive that, then it doesn't matter from the child's development standpoint. Why? What's the connection? Well, if you sense that love is conditional, that you've got to earn it, then you grow up having to get an accomplishment to feel good about yourself. First, it was earning A's and earning social A's and earning touchdown A's and performance A's. And then as you got out of school, it began earning A's in the work world or with a marriage or with having kids, but it was still earning to try to get the love that you never got. And so you become somebody who is set on having those outside achievements to give them this temporary high that is phony self-esteem. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with performance-based self-esteem unless that's all that you have. And again, the most well-adjusted, mature individuals have a high sense of self-worth, which means they only get into things that they feel great about. They do what they love for a living. They have fun at it, and they win more often than not because they're so relaxed. They're comfortable with themselves. And since they don't have the pressure of my life's going to fall apart if I don't win, they perform better. How do you build your self-esteem? Four quick ways. If you feel like you might have low self-esteem, here's what you can do. Number one, you have to forgive everybody and anybody in your life for all the crazy, silly, nutsy, mean, spiteful, crazy, harmful, hurtful things that they've ever done to you. Because it's impossible to have a high level of self-worth and to carry resentment toward another person. And you only have to do this once, right? Because everybody's perfect and you just need to do it once, right? No, you have to become a perpetual forgiveness machine for your own self-worth standpoint. Number two, okay, you've forgiven others and you start to make it a habit. Number two is you have to forgive yourself. Okay, that gets rid of what? Guilt. Okay, and you forgive yourself for all the stupid, crazy, gutless, spineless, thoughtless, self-defeating things that you've ever done and mean it, and you only have to do this forever. That's the bad news. Number three, compete with yourself, not others. How am I doing today versus how I was doing 9 days ago? Most low self-esteem comes from unfavorably comparing yourself with somebody else, which you're always going to do because everybody in here is better than everybody in here at something. And everybody in here is inferior to somebody. Everybody else in here at something. So self-competition, self-comparison. How am I doing today versus how I was yesterday? Next, extreme self-care. Every little thing that you do to take care of yourself, whether it's to take care of your spiritual life, to take care of your physical fitness life, your relationship life, to pamper yourself, to do positive, uplifting things for yourself, boost your self-esteem. And the last thing is to get into phenomenal physical condition. There is nothing in our culture today that will take your self-esteem down faster than being out of shape in the world today. And here's a connection to self-esteem and to why there's such a link with physical fitness. One of my favorite quotes is in the 7th chapter of Success is Not an Accident from Vince Lombardi. Fatigue does make cowards of us all. What does that mean? When we're tired emotionally, mentally, physically, we tend to make decisions that are not in our best long-term interest. When we're run down, we make decisions that are good for us in the short term and harmful to us in the long run. We make decisions that compromise our values. We do what's expedient. How does that affect your self-esteem? You know it. It goes down. Every day that you get up and you go exercise when you intended to do it, it builds your self-esteem. Every time that you engage in some sort of activity, whether it's eating a food, having a drink, skipping a workout, you know it. And there's this balance sheet going that's all the positives are adding up, all the negatives are adding up. And at any given day, at the end of any given day, you've either built your self-esteem or you've dropped it down. If you've got kids, I want you to think of them like this. Think of their self-esteem as being in a bucket. Yours as well. And that bucket is full of water, and the water is the self-esteem. It's not filled up to the top completely, but it's filled up to this line, the fill line. And it's filled up, and that's their self-esteem. And your job is to make sure that every morning they leave with a full bucket up to the fill line. Why? Because there is a quarter-sized hole in the bottom of the bucket. And the moment they walk out of your house, which should be a safe haven, the water starts pouring out the bottom, out of that hole. Why? Because of our exposures. Okay? It's leaking out, constantly leaking out. So, what can you do? You fill it up to the fill line? No, fill it up to the rim of the bucket. Give them every advantage they can have. Give yourself every advantage. Fill it up to where it's almost overflowing. And then know that every day, it's not a once a week thing, you've got to constantly fill up that bucket with self-esteem. All areas of low performance, if you could chart them out, low performance here, low self-esteem. Low performance, low self-esteem. They always correspond together. Question for you. Who are three people you admire most and why? This helps develop your self-ideal, your future picture. You know what? If you don't know immediately, instantly, who those three people are and why, that means that you're weaving a little too far off purpose right now. We take a little bit from this person, a little bit from this person, a little bit from this person, and we mesh it together like a composite sketch, like they do to catch criminals. And that's our composite picture, and that's what we move towards. But if we have no picture, then there's nothing to move for, so we just sort of drift. Who are the three people you admire most and why? Then write 7 I am statements that collectively represent who you want to become as a person. 7 I am statements. In other words, imagine you were the person you've always dreamed you could become, and it's 30 years in the future and your life has just worked out beautifully. Since tonight you've had the Midas touch. What are the 7 most important things that you'd like to be true about yourself and your life then? Just write them out. I am. Just write them. And that helps you move toward that process of putting together a mission statement. In chapter 2 of the book, it goes in detail. It also gives you an outline. It almost writes the statement for you. But that wouldn't be fair if I did that. Your self-concept, how you see yourself.